Okay, good morning, everybody. Let's just start. It's becoming more and more difficult to be on time at 9 a.m. according to the week is evolving, but we should start. So let's start this session. The title is Decision Support System in Wastewater Treatment. The idea is to explain you a little bit about our experience, why we need environmental decision support systems for water management related problems and systems, and then explain your case study, the Novedad decision support system, which is actually the one that you are going to practice this afternoon in the computer room. Okay, so this is today we will explain you actually Manel, who is the core of that decision support system, almost finishing the PhD who has developed it, who also will be in the afternoon session. So, well, you already know me, Kim, and Manel is a PhD student at Tecnia, almost finishing the PhD, as I said to you. The idea that, okay, after the fourth day, you have already said that most of you know about the water treatment systems or wastewater treatment systems or other water-related systems or problems, like, I don't know, river systems, small streams, whatever. So, specifically, talking about planning of wastewater treatment, it's a complex task. Right? We're talking about, a specific municipality or location that doesn't have a wastewater treatment, and we have to decide which is the best configuration for wastewater treatment. Lots of aspects to take into account. Okay? Also, many different technologies. We can have different objectives. We can have different type of influence wastewater, different type of limits, different objectives, etc. Many different scenarios to study. Also, I mean, there are actually, Manel can tell you, hundreds of different technologies, and you can imagine even the combination of these technologies, it's huge. No? Then we have also to consider one important thing here, that is not only deterministic knowledge, or numerical knowledge that we are able to specify in, let's say, differential or algebraic equations, but also the heuristic knowledge here, and the expertise is very important in this type of decision. So, it's a kind of knowledge that sometimes, well, yeah, it's qualitative, more qualitative and symbolic knowledge that is not possible to specify in differential equation. And we're integrating the whole wastewater treatment. So this is really a complex problem, no? And because of that, so focusing onto this problem, because in order to solve, to support the planning of wastewater treatment, we developed this Novedad decision support system. So the aims of the talks today are talking about the complexity in wastewater management, very quickly, then about what are decision support systems, what are the decision support systems, specifically about this Novedad environmental decision support system. Novedad is the name of the consolidator, a big Spanish project, probably you have heard about that, almost finishing, and comes from new wastewater treatment plant, so the wastewater treatment plant of the 21st century. And then how we have integrated LCA in this Novedad. So let's start for the why water management related issues are complex. Well, all of us already know, because we have to take into account different scientific and technical aspects, but not also that, but also economical and social aspects. So we really have to deal with complexity during decision making. And why? This complexity, for example, we have explained it for the wastewater treatment, planning of wastewater treatment plans case, but in a more general perspective, so for any type of water-related or wastewater-related problem that we have to face, let's say these are some of the factors, some of the aspects that cause this complexity. For example, we have normally lots of data. Imagine a water treatment plant, lots of sensors, normally it's receiving lots of data, and this is the first problem. Not always all the data that operators and plant managers they are receiving is converted into information. Sometimes they are overwhelmed of data. They have lots of data, sometimes they don't have time to interpret, to evaluate. Yeah. Normally it's coming from sensors, this is numerical data, but we can also have symbolic data, more qualitative data. Yeah. So different type of data and lots of data that normally humans by themselves don't have enough time to evaluate. So this is a little about the quantity of data that not always is transformed into information. So this is the path normally, from data to information, and from information to knowledge. This is even a second step, and normally it's also even more difficult to reach. And also, sometimes the data is uncertain, is incomplete, so we have to deal also with uncertainty in these problems. Regarding temporal dynamics, we are facing problems, water-related problems, of many very different dynamics, from slow dynamics, minutes, hours, or days, to faster dynamics. Okay? Sorry, faster dynamics, minutes or hours, to slow dynamics like months, years, or several years. And sometimes different processes of different dynamics, they interrelate. We have to face with them at the same time. Also, these dynamics, they have different natures. Some of them are natural. Other are dynamics of the technological systems process that we are developing. Or there are also dynamic, cultural or social dynamics. How the people is behaving with, as we were talking yesterday, taking a bath or taking a shower, how many water we consume, etc. It is not easy to change these dynamics. And these dynamics, in some cases, can be described with high precision and in some cases with low precision. So, factors that increase the complexity of these systems. Regarding spatial dynamics, normally, well, at least in Europe, you know, we have to manage the water bodies in normally within a river basin. So we have to limit the river basin, we have to identify the problems, we have to identify the program of measures to solve, to improve these problems. And then, of course, also we have to look into the interrelationship with different river basins. And of course, the river basins have different pluviometric regimes, hydrologic and water demands behaviors. And normally, in general, in all water-related problem systems, we have lots of different stakeholders, agents involved, okay? And they have to talk to each other and they have to reach a consensus and in order to take a decision. So some of the agents are those ones here, and well, a new invited, not so new now, new means from, well, at least it was new when the Water Framework Directive appeared in 2000, you know, because it was giving, well, Water Framework Directive is giving a lot of importance to the to the ecological state, to improve the ecological state of the river. In Catalonia, for example, we have the Catalan Water Agency, who is the responsible for almost everything, for water withdrawal, collecting, water treatment, water wastewater treatment, etc. And on top of everything, we need we are looking for a sustainable management of water. Okay. Also, always with this triple bottom line, with environmental, economical, and social aspects. Actually, this author proposed this kind of classification for levels of complexity, okay, that can be applied to environmental systems. From low complexity systems, or low complexity problems, to the most more complex systems, okay? Where low complex systems, where we have low risk when we are taking decisions, and low uncertainty, and while here we have the higher uncertainty and the higher risk when we take decisions. So for example, at the lower level, normally, an engineer with his or her set of equations is enough to solve that problem. For example, if we want to design a wastewater treatment plant, normally we have to define the volume, let's say, the aerobic volume of a reactor. Normally we have some equations, which are now quite a standard for a created slide, so that should be enough, okay, in order to solve that problem. But if we go to, let's say, a higher level, and we want to supervise a wastewater treatment plant, then we need a little bit more of knowledge and expertise. So we have at least different type of knowledge, because, for example, when it's not enough just with equations. If we experience a filamentous bulking problem or a foaming problem, then we should have knowledge about that. And this knowledge is not included in the equation, so we need extra knowledge. And at the third level, here normally we need the involvement of all the society, of different agents, and we normally we have conflicting objectives. For example, here was positive planning management. It was a very famous one here in Spain a few years ago. It was the what the Popular Party was trying to do, the big water transfer from the Ebro River Basin to the south and to Barcelona. Okay, you remember the, well, once you are Catalan and Spanish, it really affected to all, many different people, different stakeholders in the city. So, let's say, for example, in the case of the planning of wastewater treatment, we think that we are at least at the level, at the second level, if not going to the third level, between the second and the third level. So we think that just with numerical equations, differential equations, is not enough. And that's why we're looking for another approach, or new approach, which actually is complementing models. It's not that we are forgetting models, but we complement models with other tools. So for the first level of complexity, until now, I think the engineers with equations, they have solved quite well the problems, but probably those were mainly problems belonging to the first level of complexity. Okay? But now we need tools for the case of planning of wastewater treatment, which is the one that we will explain to you later on, that allows also to integrate experience, for example. It's not easy to integrate experience into an equation, numerical equation. To include results and knowledge from different fields, experts, and different levels of description. Also, a system that is able to study, that allows us to study different alternatives, for example. And that make a proposal, not only the best one, but different proposals that can be a good solution for our problem. And that also very important thing is able to justify those proposals. So we are not talking about black box systems. We have an input and we have an output, and this is, and you have to believe on that. No, the system is able to justify why this is this proposed solutions are probably the best ones or among the optimal ones. So we need a new paradigm. And in the 90s, these environmental decision support systems, they appeared with high expectation they were generating, but I would say already in the 2000s years, so this last decade, there were not only high expectations, but already very good and successful results. So there are several examples. Some of them we have been working on them. We don't have time to explain you. But for example, one case is that we developed a decision support system to improve the control of a wastewater treatment plant. And nowadays there is an spin-off company that was created in order to commercialize this system. Okay? And it's still alive and it seems that it's working for that. So not only us, but many people in the world is working in these systems, and some of them have been quite successful. So what is an environmental decision support system? Well, this is a definition from Poc. Poc is a professor of Lekia and the director of Lekia. Easiest thing is just to read. It's an intelligent information system. So at the end, it's a computer software that is able to integrate numerical models, either linear or non-linear, algebraic or differential, with artificial intelligence technique, and this is probably the newer thing, with also, if it's needed, geographical information systems and environmental technologies. Okay, so the idea is that it's a framework that allows to integrate different type of techniques. Yeah? And the idea is that when we integrate techniques, let's say artificial intelligence techniques provide some capabilities to the system to include, for example, experience, to include reasoning, to include learning, which are capabilities that numerical models cannot provide us. Okay? So at the end, the system we think is better to solve some problems. So these are, again, different components of environmental decision support systems. Actually, other definitions also we can find on literature, many other definitions, but basically, well, the first one is talking about the consistency of the decisions taken by these systems. So it's a system that normally is going to be always consistent, something that normally sometimes the humans are not, no? Depending on how we feel today or whatever, sometimes we're not so consistent. And the quality of decision, another one that we have been talking already, that enables us to handle the complexity of these problems. And finally, the third definition is talking about this capability of the system to integrate different types of data, models, and assessment tools. Okay? Just let me allow me to make a short break to talk about artificial intelligence. What is artificial intelligence? You have probably heard a lot about that. This is actually a discipline from the computer science, okay, appeared already in the 1950s, something like the 60s. And what he's trying to do is to study the human mechanisms, so the human reasoning mechanisms, which provide the behavior that can be considered intelligent, and try to emulate, to simulate these mechanisms called cognitive tasks in a computer software. Okay? There are lots of examples of the application of artificial intelligence in many different disciplines in the world. Very famous, for example, the Deep Blue. You probably remember it was a machine, a computer that was born in 1997 to Garry Kasparov. They compete for, I think, 3 or 6 games, I don't remember, and in the end, this machine won. Yeah? And then he claimed, Kasparov, that it was produced by IBM, that IBM was cheating, and he demanded to play again, but then they dismantled the computer. So and what we have is the machine won. No? So it was based, this computer, on artificial intelligence. Actually, the chip was initially developed in Carnegie Mellon. Okay? And then also lots of developments in medicine. Okay, this is very typical when we go to the familiar doctor, right, because we feel bad and we have fever and we have pain in several places of our body. I don't know. We feel bad and say, okay, you have pain in your arms and headache. You have fever, so probably you have flu. Yeah. Okay. So, well, it's not so simple for sure, but it has been developed a lot there, artificial intelligence, for diagnosis of illness in medicine and many other applications. So, robotics. Robots is also very famous. We see very often on the news, on the newspapers, the new developments about robots. So, also, it has been developed a lot for improving monitoring and control systems. And this, for example, what we did with that system that I told you that nowadays is being commercialized for an SPNO. Okay. Yeah, artificial intelligence techniques actually is a group of different techniques that actually can be classified according to knowledge-based systems. I mean, classification can be made in two different. For this, the ones that can be called knowledge-based systems, basically rule-based systems, case-based systems, and agent-based technology are the most popular nowadays. Okay. Those ones are based on heuristic knowledge and experience that we have of the process. So, is that cases where we have some knowledge about an environmental problem, a water-related problem, some cause-effects relationships, so some experience about the problem, but we don't know the detailed, still the detailed knowledge that would allow us to develop, let's say, an equation, numerical equation, because mathematical equation. Because if we have it, then we go for the mathematical equation. But if not, we have some experience. For example, and we know that in certain cases, if we operate in a certain way in a treatment plan with a low F2M ratio and with low dissolved oxygen, normally we have a development of filamentous swapping, which is a huge operational problem in the plan. But exactly, we are still not able, there is not yet a general accepted validated model, mathematical model for the development of filamentous, because there is still some lack of knowledge there in order to explain that very well in automatic equation. But still, that knowledge that we have, we can represent in some way using these techniques. And then, other group of artificial intelligence techniques are those that are based on or are built based on data mining. Imagine we have, I was telling you at the beginning that we have some systems that are generating lots of data. Okay, sometimes a wastewater treatment plant. There's lots of data generated from sensors, but also from the lab analysis. Normally they are registered on a daily basis, but it can be different. So after few months or years of operation, we have some data there that we can apply some techniques and try to extract, for example, some patterns of knowledge, some models from the data itself. This is called data mining techniques. There are many different ones. Neural networks also is one of the more popular. And again, these artificial intelligence techniques we complement with mathematical models, if needed, geographical information systems, and statistical models to have the decision support systems. Okay. Well, in the case of a rule-based system, for example, I'm going to explain just with a couple of slides, because this is the one that has been used in the Novedad decision support system. Among the different artificial intelligence techniques, basically Novedad is based on database, on models, mathematical models, and in some rules. Yeah? on a rule-based system. So a rule-based system, basically, we have to build a knowledge base, and we have to look for different knowledge sources, typically, so databases, experts, through interviews, and also, of course, the specific literature, or specialized literature, sorry. And then normally what we do in a rule-based system is, first of all, before codifying it into the computer software, is representing it in a graphical way, in such a way like, for example, this decision tree, which is trying to represent the way that human reasoning is working. No? When we take in decisions, so we evaluate the variable, and then this guy can go in this way, and then I'm going to evaluate another variable, etc. Okay? Why? Because if we do that, this is very easy to show to the real expert, and he say, well, yes, this is more or less what I'm doing when I'm trying to take a decision, to make a diagnosis, and to solve a problem. Yeah? And he can easily understand that. While a computer code normally is much difficult to. And when it's validated by the expert, then we very easily we can codify in this kind of rules. If conditions, then conditions. Okay? So this is a kind of software, as you can imagine, that is working with symbolic. Yeah? Block characteristics is high. The abundance of elemental organisms. Pyramidal groupings is true. So you see type of SBI, which is the large volume predicts, is also high. So qualitative symbolic knowledge. Eh? You cannot include in mathematical models normally. Or was it more difficult to do it? Okay, now I'm coming back after this parenthesis of artificial intelligence techniques to the environmental decision support system. We made a proposal already in 2004 about how to build these systems. And basically, well, this is the proposal we made, but basically we have five different steps. First one is the problem analysis, another one is collecting data if we have about the system, about the process, and knowledge acquisition, we call it, in order to build the models. Select the most interesting models. So we have lots of models here, different artificial intelligence techniques, different, it can be mathematical models, statistical models. Of course, for every problem, we will select the most interesting ones. We have to implement the models and integrate different models. And finally, for all the time, we have to do this evaluation. Eh? And it has to be done by different experts, so not only computer scientists, but of course, environmental experts and of artificial intelligence. And also, it's very important for these systems to be really useful at the end when they are finally implemented, is that the users, the final users, are involved from the very beginning of the phases into the development of these systems. And also, we did a proposal about how to create, but also I'm going to pass this very quickly because you are going to see it better with the example, with the specific example of Cambria. But basically, we have an environmental system of process, okay? Or in this case, for the case that Manel is going to explain now, is for example the planning of wastewater treatment systems. We have to gather the data, take a diagnosis, and we take a decision to support the user. And here, in this step, we can complement all the information that we have in the reasoning level, which is actually the core of the decision support systems, with other criteria, economical criteria, environmental criteria. And here, in this level, is where we have implemented, in the Novedad decision support system, LCA life cycle assessment. Well, just this graph to show you the evolution of the environmental decision support use from the along the time. At the beginning, in the 80s, there were expert systems. These ones have evolved to rule-based systems, knowledge-based systems, and nowadays we're talking about environmental decision support systems. Okay? You see that the knowledge at the beginning was very general, and it didn't work very well, because when you were applying to a specific case, then the knowledge was not adequate, too general. So we're going to systems that are much more specific. Also, the integration of different data and different models was poor at the beginning. The JavaSpace system was only one technique, an expert system, a rule-based system, while a decision support system, we are looking for systems that are able to integrate mathematical models with knowledge-based systems, data mining techniques if we need, the most adequate in any case. And finally, the use on site, so the real practical use of that was very poor, low at the beginning, so most of the developments were let's say conceptual or practical, but just for simulation or as a scientific exercise, but they were not really applied at the practical world. But nowadays there are several successful examples of application of environmental decision support systems. And coming back so to the initial example, we wanted to develop a decision support system, an environmental decision support system, to help us, to support us organizing and structuring all the available knowledge that we need to take this decision, the best, trying to do the best planning of the development plan. So a system that will be able to indicate the most adequate technology, or the most actually adequate combination of technologies for every specific scenario. Also very important, a system that is able to provide explanations for these solutions. So as I told you, this is not a black box, but it's a system that is able to explain all the decisions, okay? And a system that is able to be complemented with process simulators, so with water treatment plant simulators, we can fit the decision support system with the results of the simulations, for example, with economical cost, mathematical equation, and in this case, for example, with life cycle assessment analysis. And so that's why now it's the turn for Manel to explain you this specific case, the environmental decision support system.
So now I'm going to present, as he said, the NOVEDAR decision support system. And how we have developed this DSS and the implementation of life cycle analysis module in the system. So this project came from a bigger one. It's a NOVEDAR consolidator project. It's the framework of all these studies. The main objectives of this, this project is composed by 11 universities, almost 30 companies, and 14 entities, authorities. So the objective is to develop new technologies, to improve existing ones, and to improve the resource recovery. So there are these 11 universities, all of them work in different studies and different projects, but any of them have a specific expertise. For example, in the Netherlands, they are good in microbiology. In Basque Country, they are good in the modeling. Girona, we have experience in the design of super systems. Galicia, maybe they are the best with life cycle studies. Marsh, ecotoxicity, etc. So the main goal is to combine all these expertise and to try to integrate all this knowledge in order to improve the design of wastewater treatment plants in the future. So the first proposal to integrate that was the develop of the decision support system that complement all this knowledge. So we have a tool where to collect knowledge about energy balances, expert knowledge, life cycle, mass balances, multi-criteria, etc. So in order that in the future plans follow the sustainable paradigm and the eco-efficiency, etc. So when I mean eco-efficiency, it means that we have to take in account all the technological advances that university and current research it's producing, also the technical optimization about these technologies. Also, we have to be able to quantify the real impacts of our plants in life cycle and other studies, and also to quantify the benefits and the cost of all the, in economic terms, of our plants, and integrate that in a single tool. That's why we have designed the NOVEDAR decision support system to design or select the best configuration of wastewater treatment plant. So following the methodology of POC, there are different five stages to build a super system. After that, we will explain how we operate this system in three steps. Also, we'll explain how the LSA module have been implemented in this structure. And after that, the brief conclusions about the NOVEDAR system and how decision support systems has helped in the previous mentioned challenges. So the first step is the problem analysis, why we need the decision support system. As we said, there are several challenges nowadays in the 21st century. There are also high number of objectives. Maybe we want to reduce others, or reduce the sludge production. On the opposite, maybe we want to increase the sludge production in order to have more biogas, etc. Also, there exists a high number of possible scenarios, rural area, agriculture, arid, special limitations, etc. Also, there is a high number of available technologies, even from emergencies, conventional or loaded, and from the different sections of the plant, like tertiary, etc. So also it's important to take in account the importance of our decisions. In any wastewater treatment project, there are different stages. Decisions taken in earlier stages in a project have more impact over the project. So when we, when decision makers have to decide which configuration, have to decide which technologies they are going to compose the flow, process flow diagram, so these decisions are of the most important. So they need a decision-making process to give consistency and provide the right arguments in order to accept this decision. So the NOVEDAR system is focused in this stage. So after we know the problem, well, we have analyzed, we have to collect all the knowledge that had to help us to solve the aforementioned problems. So from the different universities, authorities, and companies, we extract all the knowledge that was related to our problem, and also from the technical and literature, technical literature, and from visits in different plants. From all these different places, sorry, this has been, we were able to identify more than 250 technologies within the process diagrams, even pretreatment, secondary, tertiary, sludge, odors, and head returns. We were also, fully characterized these technologies, and now we will explain how we characterize that. And also we collect all the knowledge about legislation related to the different reuses, the different researches, the management of the sludge, and also environmental considerations. So now, once we know the problem, once we know all the knowledge we have, we analyze that, and from that we select the best model to handle this complexity. So from that, we saw that the best way to manage all this was the creation of a set of different knowledge bases that had to interact between them. Three main types of knowledge bases were created. One for the specification or characteristics of technologies, another type of knowledge bases for the relations between technologies, and another one that would compile with all the rest of knowledge bases like legislation, life cycle, and economic terms. Also, it was necessary data processing module that is an inference engine that will help us to run this information to make work all this. And also, we try at least to design a user-friendly interface that we will see this afternoon in the practical session. Also, the information related to technologies was structured in a hierarchical way. So the main sections of our plants are in the upper level. In this level, the amount of information is lower. There is, on the second level, there is the groups of technologies or clusters. Here, the amount of information is medium. And the lower level is the units, where the amount of information is the highest. Now we will see how much information is in this level for each of the technologies. So as I said, the technologies is the higher amount of information. This is a different knowledge base. I will show you now a video where it's explaining. And also it's the other type of knowledge base is the compatibility that we see the relations about technologies. So hope this is going to work. Okay, here what you can see is the knowledge base about technologies. This is the section for the primary. For the secondary, each column represents one technology, and every technology is characterized with a set of 88 parameters. Parameters are divided in different sections. We have parameters about the influence that tell us which is the quality of the water that can be accepted for this technology. After that, we have the another parameters that explain us, give us information how this technology treats the water. So which is the removal of nitrogen, the pathogens, spirit pollutants, etc. We also have different parameters that define us the subproducts or the environmental impacts. Here it's for example, the environmental impacts. Also for cost, we have maintenance, operation, investment, special requirements. To product like leaky waste, gas release, etc. And operation data like startup difficulty, robustness, reliability, etc. And now the next one is the typical matrix that show us the relation between technologies. These are technologies, this also, and the matrix tells us which kind of relation is established between them. There are four possible combinations, these possible possibilities of relation between, well, as I said, each technology is related with all the rest that can be present in any process flow diagram. So four main types of compatibility, the high compatibility, a normal one, you know, it will appear here. Yeah, high compatibility, possibly compatibility, and compatibility. All information in this knowledge base and the other one, it's always referenced at least for two or more authors or different bibliographic resources. So the expert knowledge is quite vital in this study. Now I will show you like a representation how it works this this system. Each red dot represents one technology. As I show you, we know all the information about any technology. So if we know all the characteristics of any technology, we also know the logical order in a wastewater treatment plant, and we know the relations between the technologies. This is the Sekabe, it means explains the relations between technologies. We are able to create all the possible configurations of treatment plants. So using the a methodology that is called recursive evaluation, we are able to confront, to make functional this network, and for any specific scenario, we are able to create only the suitable combinations of treatment plants that are going to be suitable for the specification of for the scenario that we have defined at the beginning. So, using this recursive evaluation, we are able to discard all these process flow diagrams that do not satisfy our requirements. And also, we are able to, the rest that have not been discarded, we are able to evaluate them in the way we want. So we decide that we should evaluate them using an integrated assessment. Well, here is just the explanation, how it works, the recursive evaluation. We have an initial node where the information about the scenario goes through them and all the nodes, and after that there is calculations about the best combination, etc. Well, the thing is, we have to evaluate them using different criteria. Now, so I'm going to explain a little bit how we evaluate how we include the environmental vector in this assessment of the suitable process flow diagrams. So, the application of LSI is essential in order to identify the real impacts that have the plants, because there are direct impacts maybe for the discharge of the effluent, but there are also indirect ones due to the materials that the energy use of the plant, and also from the emissions and waste generate, etc. All this work has been done in Galicia. So we did a previous study in La Rosetta de Compostela. We did a previous study. From this study, we decided that there were only two relevant categories that were suitable for this this super system. They were eutrophication potential and global warming. Other categories, like acidification, were not taken into account because it's too dependent to global warming. Another ones, like abiotic depletion, photochemical, or ozone depletion, they are depending on chemicals use and energy use, so they were a little bit overlapped also for global warming, so we decided just to keep one category in that sense. Other two categories that are really important is the human toxicity and freshwater toxicity, but they could not take into account because these categories are dependent of metals and purity pollutants. In the metals, the problem is that currently it's not possible to estimate the concentrations of them in the influent of the plant and also in the effluent. And for the priority pollutants, the emission factors, they are not standardized, these emission factors. So the values that we will get with this approach will not be accepted for the scientific community. So we decided that the best ones were these. So every processful diagram that is evaluated generates different contaminants at the effluent. So for the global warming, all the carbon dioxide for generate methane and the nitrogen monoxide was converted to CO2 for the global warming potential. In the case of eutrophication, in the effluent, all the ammonia, chemical COD, nitrogen, phosphorus, phosphate was also transformed, converted to phosphate. Moreover, other processes were included in order to provide more information in these theories. Was the electric energy used? Also was taking into account the methanol as a carbon source, the hydrochloride for the removal of phosphorus, electrolyte for the dehydration of the sludge. Depending of the fate of the sludge, there were different emission factors. Depending of the fate, if it was to the landfill, land application, initial disposal, we have different factors. In the case that the sludge goes to land application, to another processes were included. It's nitrogen and phosphate fertilizer. These are negative values because, as they are positive. They are not a bad values for as an impact because as we applicate the land. We applicate the sludge contains phosphorus and nitrogen, so this is used as fertilizer. So we avoid the production of these fertilizers somewhere in the world. So we avoid this impact, and these are the main process we include. So the scenario definition that we did using these emission and characterization factors, we were able to convert them in impacts, and from these impacts we have these different categories, and these categories will influence the Meriton vector. So we will integrate the final assessment will be related with all this information. We did more or less the same in the economic vector. We implement two different methodologies. One is the conventional cost-benefit analysis. Another one is another economic way to do it, but I will not explain that. So after that, we explain how has been built, how different assessment methods have been applied. I will just do an overview how this program works. But all of this you will see in the practical session, so I will just do a first glance. So there are a few steps: the data gathering, or where we have to define the scenario, the diagnosis, and the decision support. For the scenario definition, you will find this afternoon that we have different tabs. Here you have to explain which is your initial conditions. So which is the characteristic of your plants, which is your population, your flow rate with concentration of chemicals, nitrogen, nitrate, etc. Also you have to provide the information about which is your objective for the treatment of the sludge, if you want to incinerate, valorize, well, depending of your city, you will know where it has to go. So depend if you select that, a different set of technologies will be selected. Also, you have to choose the different options for your water, if you want to discharge it in river, in the sea, in the well, etc., or if you want to reuse. You have a lot of different uses for the reuse. Depending on where you select, a different legislation will work in the program to help you to select the best technology. After that, this is where the multi-criteria here it's where the user can select the different criteria and to weigh and to score the different alternatives. This is the old version. Here you cannot see the different categories of LSA, but in the version that you will see this afternoon, you will see the amplification of global warming. So if you change the weight of these categories, the result of the plan will change according to this. Also, it's another tab, while you will see that there are different tabs. The diagnosis is just the interaction between the data and the knowledge and how all the structure of the program. as I explained, the beginning you generate all the possible alternatives. From this possible, you discard the ones that are not suitable. And from the ones that are not being discarded, you have to score them, to rank them in order to select the best option. So you generate all them. You select the one that are suitable from this one. You use all the criteria used in the priorization, the customizing in the previous step. So you can choose the objective, etc. From there, you will have the best option. And here is just a glance of also the last version of the program, where you have the best combination of technologies. It's always shown in the showing the upper level, the upper side. So, well, you have the leg, but you also can combine to learn about technologies or to check different options. But if you accept the first one, you will have the best ranked option with different information of LSA, course, results. As this one is the last version, you can see that there are also in the Plato notification, but well, it's the last one. So, finally, these are the challenges that King Comas told us before. We have a high number of available technologies. To solve that, we characterize almost all of them, unless we try to find the main ones, also including emergent that have been developing in the universities we have been working with them. Also, there are, with the many objective criteria and scenarios, we try to implement a quite understandable multi-criteria, many possible combinations of technologies. We designed this system able to automatize, to systemize the generation of the whole response surface of possible treatment plans, include deterministic and heuristic logic knowledge. From the visit with the plans, the visit with the interchange of knowledge with experts, we consider that with the main source of knowledge was experts, so we get the heuristic knowledge. Integrated evaluation of treatment plans, it's the inclusion of the different methodology I explained, the life cycle analysis, the different cost-benefit analysis methodologies. Also, we try to consider qualitative parameters, etc. These are more general conclusions about decision support systems. They are able to reduce the time which decisions are made, also help us to improve the consistency and quality of decisions, allows integration of different model techniques and types, provide direct access to experience, expertise, and humankind. They are capable to support learning capability and decision-making process, and allow the evaluation of different management strategies. So, I think that's all. Thank you for your attention.
Well, not because our idea is not how to
it's
use
the
it.
Part, yeah.
So this is a tool not of this you will see yeah, it. Yeah, it's quite robust. So now it is quite robust, the prototype. I mean, for being, let's say, a product of
yeah.
The agency, a little bit of robust and nice, using some of the screen there. But still, in order to be applied real time, then...
Yeah, we need a real application, or
yeah.
Real... Yeah.
But the thing is that the idea is that somebody, or we will have somebody use it, and potential users, consulting companies, for example, and engineering companies, maybe water authorities, but we are not going to decide the configuration process for the problem, but this is not our job. So the product is there and available for everybody, for the potential users. Actually, now we are exactly on the phase to explore the market for a potential utility of this product. So see, can you use it or not? Maybe Manel wants to use it.
In our opinion, this is a new one that is using a commercial company, commercial companies, we need another step. We need to translate some of the research concepts to a more commercial application. This is the same case in the EDSS developed for reported human plant operation. After a long time, some years, we obtain a very nice product that when some people say, I want to commercial that, it changed. It is, no. Okay, good for research, but you want to apply it by a commercial company, you need to change some of the perspective, some of the paradigm. And then we try to repeat this process. Nowadays, I'm dealing with a robust process. So we want to test we happy, but for a commercial use, we think that another step and it's another kind of development that must be done by people coming from companies, not from industry. We arrived until here and now there are the companies that need to perform the next, to do the next step.
About the criteria you use to give the possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
You use the same way to all parameters to filter the possibilities, or you put some way to
No, we have a specific tab where what you will see is in the practical session. So let me check if I'm able to show you. Here, this is not definitive one, but you can select all the parameters you want to take in account. For example, you can choose the weight for each parameter, and also you can check choose if you want to take it in account or not. For example, maybe you want just to evaluate different treatment plans only for the cost-benefit. So you will just take cost-benefit and 100% weight, and depending on that, all the selection will be done like that. But if you want, you can check the different output the same way for everything, and so it's a completely customized multi-criteria.
I think he's asking about the compatibility.
So I thought you also can choose, which kind of compatibility you want. As there are four compatibilities, you can choose if you want the 4-1, so the best related ones, or maybe if you want to also 4-3 to check.
So you can be more conservative? Okay, maybe this is the best combination of these technologies. Magnetism and secondary, it's not the optimal, but it would work in some operations, so I allow it. Or being less conservative, you know, it is normally that would not work, so I think it's not compatible. How is the verification done in the program? You said it's experts are being consulted to see if
the information about each parameter. When we went to the different experts in different centers, we said, okay, we checked the literature and we saw these values for each parameter. And they said, yes, it's true or not, or they improve this value. So this knowledge comes from the validation of this information from the experts. So the final results, in the design of with water treatment plant, we are in this step with the validation, but for the moment it looks like it has been also accepted.
Okay, what you're asking is needed. So someone's sitting there like consulting engineers, or real experts, the ones that were asking, so sitting there and playing with the tool, like looking at scenarios, putting data, and looking at the records and seeing if this is
I understand you said that this is for new water treatment plant, but I think it might be used for modifications of actual
grid. Yeah, for retrofit. Yeah, you can use it. As you will see, you can choose the different technology you want to use in the final stage. So if you have each technology, you can just select the one you have and combine the rest and to see what's different. There is not a specific model for retrofit, but I think it could be useful, at least, for the approximation.
Okay. one more comment.
Okay.
We are more like in a technical atmosphere or group, but what happens if you introduce good practices in like environmental education about the use of water? Do you analyze or can you introduce these good practices as a better way to reduce some of these parameters? I mean, if you use or you consume in a better way the water, the domestic water, you're going to have better effluent, and then you can introduce these social parameters.
Yeah, like some behaviors that we have
yeah.
changed.
As we talked yesterday.
That can be included then?
I mean, I think this is out of the scope of this project, but also I don't know if it's interesting at all, because if you do not contaminate enough the effluent, maybe the concentration is not good, because maybe sometimes it's necessary a high concentration of contaminants in order to have efficient treatment. If you put like a gray water, so maybe the bacteria have not enough food, and it's not always good that, but you should we should analyze. See if some behavior of the society will help in our plan.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit out of the scope, but maybe
yeah.
we'll check.
What you can do is change the input data. So using, for example, a video or reducing the production of wastewater for perimeter. But of course, the tool has been called for more or less is centralized and conventional.
Yeah,
but even are now.
First question is, if you not give this software availability to your consultants, do you have a feeling how long time they would need to in order to really make a good use of the software? What is the learning time and the pressure? Nowadays it has been presented to some companies, but not in a given use, probably not from a test, because we are finishing the development, not to understand. Our idea is that this part of the test validation of the companies will be made by the spin-off, by a new company that tries to sell it to somewhere. Our work, like a research group, is to develop the prototype, to test with some friends, with some colleagues, some people coming from companies, but not in a professional way. This part of validation for a commercial use is something that must be done by the people that will try to sell the software in the next future.
Now, for example, if you characterize the implant, you give a number of parameters. Can you, in that characterization, look at the variability as well? And
No, you
look at the average value. Okay. I think another question I had, now very often we talk about, decentralized systems.
Mm.
Let's say you have a certain area here you'd like to solve a problem. I guess you can sort of use the software to see, is it worthwhile to have one central plant or three decentralized plants? Can you do that kind of thing? Maybe not automatically, but
We thought about with Natasha. We talked to implement a model that was able to do this thing, but finally we didn't do it. So it's a thing that we should do if really it's going to be applied in this decentralized system, because it's really important. Depending of your class or different population, you will have a different.
But
I think
you have the ability to do that already now.
No. We would love to do that.
Before this project, we did another project with the Catalan Water Institute, which was also a global group to select the best, the most adequate treatment for small communities, because this is for any type of community. For small communities, they have given this technology that you can use. We have a wide range of products and it's a natural system. And then we have the model to do that, to study, because especially in the small communities, it happens. You have the community where there is a church and a city council, and then normally there are other small houses surrounded, like separated from the main community. And we did an attempt, basically including cost and environmental aspects. But of course, then it all depends on your work. If you look at cost, course, operator plan is cheaper for hydro plan, but on the other side, environmentalist projects, they would say, is better in physical to keep the water closer to the place where you have to withdraw and return it as soon as possible to the distribution. So, but it was a very, really preliminary.
I think that is right. How much do you include the sewer and the distance of the transportation of water? That is included.
Is included the sewer?
The sewer, no.
The sewer is, yeah, it's
included the distance.
No, we will.
The main difference between centralized and decentralized is the sewer show yesterday in the sewer system. Yeah. So the impact for construction and corrosion management. I think that probably. Remember that there are different levels of decision. And if you are talking of the first level of decision in the water management, but the idea in the context of the project was in the second level of decision. Then the input is more or less fixed. It's the actual input for the water. Maybe you could change COD by 400, 500, but the concept, the paradigm is that the wastewater and the input is the same nowadays. And this is the context of the project is the soft is developed for this second level of decision. I think that may be useful for some parts of the first level of decision of the water management, but has not been developed for this type of
decision.
Yes, it's very potential, but nowadays the potential is mainly for, because the project, the Northern project was a several groups that are developing new technology. And they say, okay, I have a new technology, Anemox. But is Anemox more efficient than other projects like Membrane? And in this context, we say, okay, we need a software that tests several combinations using several approaches, using several assessment tools. And in this context, is in the with the project is developed.
Okay, I have two questions for thinking of important. Since I think I'm not clear about the title of this. I know that it's a related system. We all make new technologies for really. But I think as a consultant is a powerful tool to use in the decision making. So you are not, what do you think, when are you going to introduce this to the market? Because it is very interesting, but what I am thinking is, who is demands this tool in research and as a consultant, because it is related so much parameters. And it could be inactive or, yeah. I don't know, is a dynamic one. Be working on it. Since if you don't consider this, it could be just a tool in the computer and nobody would be using this. Uh-huh. And it could be, this is my thinking, that a lot of things that I am thinking is this is a dynamic model. What happened with the integration, the interface with data mod, data
with mother
equipment, for example? We will have to be in touch or in contact with that place because it is changing frequently, updating the data. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well.
First one, maintenance is very important. It's always an important in all these systems. I can never more without using more. So if there is nobody there behind anything in the data and all the things behind, which is basically everything behind us for the race,
humans
at the race. Somebody steals it and you are the best. So the maintenance of this operation that they is very important. So and of course we don't think this is our objective. More or less show that and say that any good food, because when I say somebody has to do. Probably with the support of consulting engineers, experts in the field in water treatment, but also probably there should be some computing
of what happened, doing the participation and applications in the project. Actually, the process now is that we will probably hire a person who has been consulting engineer in the US market for many years, so he's supposed to know the market and the needs of the market. And the needs of, I mean, he's been designing with what we've done plans, but we know, the first thing we know, we want our team is to tell us if this is useful or if this is not useful. Maybe it's useful for the other stage, but we haven't used it in the future. So we cannot do that, because actually what we know a little bit about with the documents, but we're not really attached to it.
Which level are you developing right now?
At this moment, so we are almost, this person is going to start working with us. A person who has been working many years in the private sector as a consulting engineer in the European field. And to, just to do that work, try to look for potential commercialization, or I would say at least use, potential use of this tool. To explore the possibilities and explore the new the improvements that are needed. And then the other question about the
Yeah, we not just introduced the emission and calibration factors within the system, but I think that maybe if the changes in these factors are there, well, they change quickly, maybe we could just install a module that upgrade always when you start the program with the standard database. But if not, it is easy to change it. You will see that there is also a tab where you can change these factors. So if you decide, oh no, no, my process, the energy use, it's not that. You can change it easily. We are going to see that in the afternoon. So now it's customized for the user, but it could be install a module to do that automatically.
I think it's very important your feedback in that. You are going to play what you need, so every comment you have in the is very important. Sometimes you will just say,
Okay,
so